So tonight we're going to get into our a Christmas message, and when I started praying about it, asking the Lord God what do you want me to share. It's funny, the story, the Christmas thing that I really felt the Lord pointed me to was the wise men. And so I began, just asking the Lord just to reveal a message to me and what he wanted to speak through that. And Pastor Cricket texted me yesterday. He said, "Hey, I know you've been sick." He said, "I just wanted to throw an idea out there if you wanted just something to minister on. I know you're starting your Christmas stuff." He said, "The wise men, would be something." He said, "You can minister on this." And he gave me wise men and some points. I'm like, "Man, that's awesome." Now he missed the points that God had given me. He must not have been listening to the Lord completely. But anyway, at least he heard him. At least he heard him when we're talking about wise men. And so anyway, I want to talk about wise men. I know you guys are all familiar with the story of the wise men, but I'm going to go ahead and read this is our text. It's Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 through 12. Joe, if you want to put it on the screen. And most of mine are New King James, Joe. I don't know if you need another or not. So if you have your Bibles with you, raise your hand. That's all our real spiritual folks in here tonight. Yes, I see that hand. I guess I should do it right. Who all does not have their Bible? Yes, I see that hand. Lord, I'll pray for them. Yes, I see that hand. Our Sunday school teacher, I never forget, our Sunday school teacher used to ask us, "Hey, all right, who's got their Bibles?" And if you didn't raise your hand, he'd look at us. He was an old football coach. He'd say, "Would you go to football practice without your helmet?" And we're like, "No." He said, "Don't come to church without your Bible." Anyway, praise God. Today we got phones that have our Bible and all that kind of good stuff. So if you have your phone or your Bible, you want to follow along, we're reading in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Going through 12, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way." So the story of the wise men. So we're going to talk about the wise men tonight. I'm going to be brief tonight. We're going to pull out just a few things about the wise men that I really felt like that were good things and things that I think God wants to remember tonight. Now, during this Christmas season, there's all kind of things that take our attention. Like I told you earlier, the gifts that I've already prepared to buy for my wife, the plans that I've already made for her. And I'm sure that so many of you have made some similar plans too, but I just want to encourage you tonight. And, this sounds cliche, but let's remember what the season is about. And tonight I want to talk about the wise men, because to me, there are some people in the Bible, there are some people in this story that they knew what it was to seek after Jesus. And I just really feel, and even a couple of weeks ago when I spoke, part of what I spoke then was talking about seeking God's will for your life, seeking God's plan for your life particularly. And I just feel like God's still on my heart is the word that he's speaking in my heart for me, and I believe for this church too, is to seek after him. It's to seek after him. And so, and to me, the wise men in the Bible are some of the greatest examples of seeking after him. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the wise men, and a little bit about their journey. And I just believe God is going to maybe speak to you guys. He's already speaking to me. If you don't get anything out of it, just know that I was blessed. Okay. All right. So when you leave here, don't say nobody got nothing out of that. Go ahead and say, well, man, Jason got a lot out of that. Anyway, this is what God's speaking to me. And so I'm just going to share my heart in this. And so, but the wise men, they knew what it was to seek after something. And so that's what we're talking about tonight, seeking after God. That's kind of our focus of the message. But I want to talk a little bit about the wise men. Now, in Matthew, he doesn't really give us a lot of detail to go on about the wise men. Here's what he says about the wise men. He said, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't give you a lot of history, a lot of information. And really, honestly, it's kind of a mystery about who they were, where they came from, and even how many they were. I know in most of our manger scenes, we see how many wise men? Three. And most scholars say the reason that people have came to believe there are three is because there were three gifts. But the Bible isn't specific on how many they were, who they were, or where they came from. A lot of people think they were kings, but that's even just a guess and a notion because they thought they represented three kings and each gift from each kingdom. But we really don't know a lot. And so I started reading about this and studying a little bit about it. And what I found out was, nobody really knows a lot about the wise men, but there are some assumptions and things they made from it. The fact that they came from the east. Most Bible scholars believe that they came from somewhere around Babylon. And so they came from Babylon. They're from the east. And the Greek word for wise men in the scripture is magos. Magos. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Miss Sister Thelma, am I saying that right? Can you pronounce it for me and correct? Okay. Anyway, Magos. Anyway, so Magos. But what the meaning of Magos is, it's a name given by Babylonians, Medes, Persians, and others to wise men, teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams, and people who were educated, men of influence, men of prominence. And most Bible scholars agree and think that these wise men were astrologers. They knew what it was to study the stars and to study the heavens. That's what they did. And most people believe. And most likely they were very wealthy. And so if they're right about this and they really were astrologers, you know, one of the interesting things about this is that they were going about what they do. They were going about their daily business. Brother Maurice, you're in construction, right? What do you do on a daily basis? Construct, right? Say construct. There, construct. All right. So, Sister Thelma, you're a teacher, a principal, right? So what do you do on a daily basis? Teach. Okay. So, and I don't want to go around the whole room. I'm sorry if I left anybody out. Anyway, but so they were going about their daily business. They were doing what they did on a daily basis when God reached out to them, when God got their attention. And so I thought that was really cool and really interesting. They were going about a normal day, doing what they always did, and they saw something. God got their attention. God reached out to them and got their attention. And so the first thing out of this that I believe that God was speaking to us is that it doesn't matter what you do, what you're involved in, who you are, God knows how to get your attention. On an everyday basis, there's no secret formula to what you have to do. There's no ritual that you have to do. God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to dial your number. God knows how to send you a message. God knows how to get the attention of your loved ones. How many of you here tonight have family members or children that are not searching after God right now? That are not seeking after God? That have strayed away or are not acting like they need to act. I want you to know tonight that God knows how to get their attention. Amen. And they can be right there on their daily job. They can be at Walmart. They can be doing whatever they're doing. And God knows how to get their attention. I want you to be encouraged tonight that God will speak to you. And God can speak to those of you loved ones who you've been crying out to you're going to speak to. God can do that no matter where they are or what they're doing. God knows how to get their attention. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." We're His workmanship. He knows us in and out. He knows how to get in touch with us, and He knows how to get our attention. And I just believe that God wants to begin to reveal Himself to us every day, as we go about our normal day, if we will be open and if we will be people that want to seek Him, God will begin to speak to you and reach you and connect with you no matter where you're at. Every day, on your job, in your industry, where most of you women are, at the shopping store. No, I'm just kidding. But God knows how to reach out and touch you. I started, a slogan almost came out, reach out and touch somebody. Is that a commercial or something? Anyway. And see, here's the thing. Those guys, those wise men, I don't believe they weren't really looking for Jesus when it happened either. And that's the thing. They weren't really looking for Him. And I know some of you got kids out there. You got maybe spouses out there, maybe whoever you got, that they're not really looking for Jesus. But I want to tell you, God can still get their attention. God can still dial their number. Amen. And so I feel hung on that right now, is that God wants to impart faith into somebody tonight, that whoever you're praying for, whoever you're crying out to God for, God can reach them. God can dial their number. God can send. I tell you what, I just think we need to be praying over those, over the lost. Man, I tell you, that's one of the things that believers should be a top priority for believers, is praying for the lost. You know what? I mean, that's what we are. We are light to the lost. You know, we are that city on a hill, the Bible says. We are the salt of the world. Our job, our primary ministry, you say, I don't feel called to the ministry. Well, everybody, if you're a believer, you're called to reach the lost. You're called to reach the lost. But know that it's not in our own strength. It's not in your own power. You may be a praying mom, but you know, if you're a praying mom, you ought to know that it's not your own strength and your own ability that's going to reach that child. It's the strength in the hand of God that's going to reach that child. And He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing when it comes to reaching the lost. And I believe, man, we ought to be praying every day that those that are lost, those that we're praying for, that God will send people across their path, that God won't let them go a day on their job without somebody bringing up the name of Jesus, that God will send people across their path everywhere they go that will point them to Jesus Christ. Amen. God knows how to get their number. Sometimes He just needs us to believe that He can do what He can do. Amen? Well, Mr. Lane, Pastor Lane always says, if you can believe it, He can do it. Amen? So man, I just really feel strong in that area right now, is that, man, we just need to be standing in faith over those that are lost, that God will get their attention. The wise men weren't even searching for Jesus, but something got their attention. A sign in the heavenlies got their attention. And it was a discovery that changed their life. It was a discovery that changed their life. I tell you what, when we find Him, and when we find something that points to Him, when God drops something significant in our life that points us in a direction or that reveals a part of Him to us, that should get our attention and it should change our life. It should change our life. This, for these wise men, this discovery changed their life. And it was interesting. I was reading about this. And in the Eastern culture, it was a common thought that when a great leader or someone of significance was born, that there would be a sign in the heavens. I didn't know that before. And so, I'm thinking, if they're not looking for Jesus, how do they know that, when they saw this star, how do they know it's significant? And Sister Doris is laughing at me. Where? I got something on my... I'm joking. I had to pick on her. Bless her heart. Now I got to ask her to forgive me later. Anyway. You know, when you're up here preaching and somebody's laughing in the audience, you just... all kind of thoughts go through your head. What? You know, I'll start checking everything. Okay. Anyway. So, where was I at now? Man, it was something really powerful that was going to change your life. Oh, that was change your life. So in the Eastern culture, they believed, it's a thought process. It was common thought or belief that when someone of significance, real significance, a great leader or something, someone of significance was born, that there would be a heavenly sign. And so, yeah, that's where I was at. So they weren't looking for Jesus, but when they saw this sign, because of their culture, because of their belief in their culture, they knew something significant was happening. They knew that someone was coming or had come that was going to make a major impact on the world. So they knew there was great significance, and it kindled something inside them that became their passion. Something so special that it consumed them. And as we talk about these wise men, I don't know how many of you consider yourself wise. Don't raise your hand. Most of you didn't. Anyway, but as we talk about the wise men, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to try to begin to see yourself in them. Okay. I think it's important that as you read scripture and as you read about these stories in the Bible and these men in the past, I think it's important that we try to find ourselves in the scripture. Jesus did that. Jesus found himself in the scripture and he was powerful and he walked in authority because of it. And so I believe as we find ourselves in the scripture, man, God can really, really show us some things and give us some insight and build our faith and just help us to be strong Christians. So as we talk about these wise men, I just want to encourage you, try to find parts of you in this story. Okay. So the wise men, I know Roger, as soon as I said wise men, he said, I found myself. I found myself. I'm wise beyond my years, if that's possible. I don't know. But anyway, so find yourself in the scripture. Try to find yourself as we talk about the wise men in this. But it says it kindled something inside them and became their passion. Something so special that it consumed them. Amen. Have you found something? Have you found something that consumes you? Have you found something that stirs passion inside of you? You see, they didn't have a full understanding of what they found. They didn't have a full understanding of what the star would lead them to. But they knew it was of great significance to the point they had to find it. They had to follow this star. They had to find where and who it was going to lead them to. They had to find it. Have you ever needed? Everybody say needed. Now there's a difference between needed and needed. Y'all say needed. All right. Some of you are like that with your coffee in the morning. You know, you need it. You need your coffee in the morning. And some of you drink freely coffee and you need more creamer and just a little bit of coffee. But anyway, you still call it coffee. Anyway, have you ever needed to find something that you would do anything to find it? No matter how much time it took, no matter what kind of effort it took, you had to find it. Any of y'all, you ever had something like that? You had something like that? You know, I talked about Black Friday the other day or Black Thursday. Quick story. You know, we went there. There were just a few things we got, nothing big. And then afterwards, I'm walking around the store surveying the damage, you know, and I see this lady standing there next to the balloon that says, you know, it's one of those big screen TVs. And it was, you know, it was a decent price. It's fairly cheap. And so I was like, you still standing there? You got some of those left? And she said, yeah. I said, oh, so what? I just get a bracelet, get a little bracelet. You know how, y'all know how it works. They give you a bracelet thing and they go up and they ring you up at the register. And so I was like, you got some more? I'm thinking, that's not a bad deal. And you know, and so I got one. I thought, well, you know, I'll ask Nicole if what she thinks about it. And if she says, okay, man, I got me a new big screen TV right here. But no commitment until I get up there, until I approve it from her. So I didn't make a financial decision on my own. We always talk about anything over a certain amount, really small amount. We're tightwads. Anyway. So I got the bracelet and everything. And, you know, I reasoned it out in my head. You know, do we really need a 50-inch TV? Probably. And so the deal was, see, Nate's TV in his bedroom went out. And so now when his friends come over and they want to play video games, they have to steal Sarah's TV or go in Sarah's room. Both of those cause disruption and strife in the family because teenage boys aren't allowed to go in a teenage girl's room when she's not there. That's just, we let them do that once. We didn't have that. We did that all the time. So his TV had gone out, and so I reasoned it out in my head. I'm like, you know, this TV, we could replace the living room TV with that. shift the living room TV to our bedroom and then take our bedroom TV and give it to Nate because that was the lowest one on the scale. That way we're not spoiling. I don't want to spoil my kids, you know. I don't want to go getting them everything they want and dream of. So I had worked it out. And then all the shifting and everything, I'm like, yeah, this will work. This will work. That'll work. That'll work. And in the end, you know, really it's all about the kids. It's all about family. What Christian dad would not do anything he could to keep peace and unity in his family? And so as I'm sitting there thinking this, I'm just like, I just wanted to praise God right there. And I was like, oh, you've revealed this great family plan to me, Lord God. I'm so happy. I started to kneel down, but I thought then the lady would think I'm weird and I'd never be able to witness to her. She thought I was weird. So anyway, I just really, it was just like an open vision right there in heaven. I said, God sent this TV to save my family. Can I get an amen? Amen. That was mostly men saying that. But anyway, the ladies will catch on later. But anyway, so this divine appointment that I had in Walmart, so I got the bracelet. And so I went to Nicole and I was like, hey, baby, you know, boy, Nate really needs, you know. But anyway, the lady said, this is probably the best deal you'll ever see. And I had to, you know, pull out the paperwork and do the presentation and sell it to Nicole. And so anyway, but she's like, yeah, well, if you want to, if you think, yeah, it's a good deal. So we'll get, so I was like, okay, here, I'm going to leave this with you and you can check out when you're checking out your other stuff. That way she's the one that bought it. Anyway, so I go on out to the car because I was trying to hide some stuff. The kids got Nicole something and I had to get it to the trunk before she got there. And then there was something for Sarah in the trunk too that she couldn't see. And so me and Nate, they stayed behind. They bought, I know I'm dragging the story out too long. I'm sorry. I see y'all getting bored. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right. Somebody knows Doris. I didn't hear say amen. Anyway. So Nicole buys the TV, and the way it worked, me and Nate, we got all the stuff that they couldn't see packed up in the trunk, all nice and neat. And as I'm packing it up, I realize, you know, I'm in my car. I don't have my truck. I don't have room for a TV even. I don't even, what are you thinking? I don't know. Anyway, he said, hey, it's Black Friday. It doesn't matter. You just buy it. Figure out what to do with it later. Anyway, so she comes out. Nate comes out with some bags and stuff, hands it to me. I stick them in the trunk, shut it. Nicole comes out and I said, okay, so what do we do to get the TV? She said, oh, we just take the receipt around to the side and they'll load us up. I said, okay, good. Where's the receipt? And she said, I thought Nate gave it to you. And Nate looks up and says, I handed it to you. I'm like, nobody told me you would hand me a receipt. And so we started a 30-minute process then of looking for the receipt. And so out in the parking lot of Walmart, I looked everywhere, under the car, as much of the trunk as I could get to without dragging out the stuff that she couldn't see. So I was almost to the point of just go ahead and just taking everything out of the trunk. It didn't matter if she saw it or what. I was just going to pull everything out and find the receipt. And then she spoke words of wisdom and said, hey, just wait. When we get home, I'll go in. You can get all the stuff out. You look for it there. You're going to have to come back to get it anyway. So we did. So anyway, but you had to have this receipt to get your TV. I mean, we're talking about Camden Walmart. They couldn't go pull up records, I don't think, on Black Friday to say, oh, yes, we can verify, Ms. Powell, you bought TV. Here you go. You know, it wasn't going to happen if we couldn't find this receipt. And so when we got home, everything came out of the trunk, even stuff that I didn't know was in there. I mean, stuff I've been missing for years. I found all kind of stuff. I mean, all stuff. And somehow, I mean, it didn't matter. I had to find that receipt. I was not going to stop or sleep that night until I found that receipt. I had already searched Walmart parking lot and the buggies in the rack that I had, because I'd put my buggy in the rack. Anyway, I looked everywhere. When I got home, I took everything out of the trunk, and somehow that receipt had worked its way into the very back of the trunk under something that had been there for weeks, you know? And anyway, but I found the receipt. I had to find the receipt. I did what it took. I found the receipt. And so, man, I just had to find it. And so, but I know other things before. Other times I knew I had something, but couldn't find it. And I've gone and emptied out my closet, you know, and when I get done, I know you've been here. Tell me somebody else has done this. You finally find what you're looking for and you look around, it looks like a tornado hit your house. And so you lose about 10 other things in the process of trying to find the one thing. But anyway, but I just had to find it. Okay, so I know you guys, raise your hand, if you've ever just had to find something that you just went ballistic and tore everything up, it doesn't matter what you had to do or how much time it took, you weren't going to rest until you found it. And that's the way the wise men were. This thing they had found, this sign, it was pointing to something that they had to go find. They had to find it. And I just want to know tonight, how many of us can say the same thing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is He something? Because we haven't. Nobody sitting in this room has found Him completely. Amen? We may have began to find Him. We may know who He is. I'm saying you're Christians, man. You know, you love Jesus. You're pursuing Him. But there is so much depth to Him that if you had found all of Him, you wouldn't be sitting in this room right now. You'd be out, you'd either be in heaven or you'd be out walking on the water somewhere, ministering to fishermen out in the ocean. You know, we haven't found Him, but there's so much to Him. There's so much to Him, and He needs to be at a place in our life where we have to find Him every day. Every day, we need to know more and more about Him. Every day, we need to go to a new level in our relationship with Him. Every day, is He that important to you where you have to find Him every day? Where you have to encounter Him every day? Just a question. But Jesus wants to be in that place in our life. That place that we seek after with all of our heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Proverbs 18:17 says, "And those who seek me diligently will find me." Matthew 7:7 says, "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And Luke 11:9-10 says the same thing. He wants this position in your life that nothing else can take the place of. Nothing else can satisfy. It didn't matter to me that night. I found stuff that I hadn't seen in a long time in my trunk. You know, the other glove to my pair of gloves, you know, but I didn't care. I didn't care about that. I had to find the receipt, and there could have been a lot of things I found in that trunk that night, but none of them would have mattered until I found what I was looking for. Jesus wants that place in your life where the devil can throw all kinds of things at you. He can lure you in every way he can, but until you've found Jesus, those things don't matter. That song, what's the song? It says, "Let everything else be a shadow in the light of you." We've got to be people that seek Him with all our heart. We got to be people that depend on finding Him to satisfy us. We got to get to the point where we're not happy and we can't rest until we find Him. Amen? Man, I wish I was to that point where I couldn't rest until I find Him. Because I don't know how many times I'm in my morning devotion, I find myself resting instead of finding Him. You know? And I laugh about that, but it's that place that He needs to have in my life where I do whatever it takes not to sleep before I find Him. I remember in college having to study for a cumulative tax exam. And I remember I had to study. I studied till about 4 o'clock in the morning. All night I studied because it was a big book. They sell those tax books by the pound. They're huge. And it was an exam over the whole thing. And so I studied all night long. I had to put the book. I had a top bunk and my roommate wasn't there. And so I put the book on the top bunk so I would have to stand and read so I wouldn't fall asleep. Because I knew I needed to get it in me. I need that same passion for the Word of God. We've got to have that same drive for finding Him and finding His Word for us. Amen? We've got to have that drive where nothing else will satisfy and nothing can get in our way. That's the way it was with the wise men. They had to find this newborn king that this heavenly display was leading them to. See how we're doing on time. There's more to this. I'll finish. I'm going to pick this up right here next week. But next week, we're going to talk about their journey. And then we're going to talk about their search, and we're going to talk about the star and then the reward that they found. Okay? So we're going to pick that up next week. But I've used it more time than I thought. Praise God. Well, praise God. How many of you blessed tonight? Do you bear witness with this word tonight? Because I'm telling you, I just believe that God is calling us to a new level of seeking Him. We're not on here on Sunday mornings, but I get the copies of the CDs and listen to them. They've been talking about living a supernatural life. Living a supernatural life. And a couple of Sunday nights ago, Brother Jerry made a statement that about seeking Him and about finding Him. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to get into next week's stuff, but the journey that the wise men took, it was a long, hard journey. And so I'll just throw this out there. This will be bait for next week. But here's the thing. Wouldn't it have been nice for the wise men if their journey would have involved getting up, getting to church at 10:30 Sunday morning, finding what they needed to find by 12 o'clock, and getting home in time for lunch? But it wasn't that easy. And to tell you the truth, our seeking Him and our journey is not that easy either. We've got to go beyond 3 times a week for the Wednesday night crowd, 3 times a week, praise God. Y'all give yourself a hand. For some, it's just a Sunday morning, you know, but applaud yourselves. You're faithful. You're here the midweek. And so for some, 3 times a week, but that's not going to do it. If our seeking and our journey is limited to the time we're at church and saying the blessing over our food as we eat, that's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. And so next week we're going to talk about their journey, the hard journey that they had and the things that they faced and some other things. But praise God. Tonight, I just believe the word tonight is, first off, God just wants to kindle that fire in us to become people that seek Him, and that He pray, and I encourage you to pray too, that God will give us such a desire to seek Him and know Him more, that nothing else matters. Until we find Him every day, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Father God, I just thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, I thank You, God, Lord, that You know how to reach out to us, Father God. Lord, I thank You, Father God, that You see us, that You know us, You made us, God. You know how we're made, God, and You know how to reach our hearts, Father God. You know how to get our attention, Lord God. And I just pray, Father God, as You begin, God, Your word says that You speak, God. You're always speaking. Your Holy Spirit is always speaking to us, Father God. Lord, help us to see the signs. Lord, help us to recognize the signs, God. Recognize Your voice. Recognize Your call, Father God. Because I know that You will always point us to Jesus Christ. Father God, You will always lead us to a closer, a deeper walk with You. Help us tonight, God, to recognize Your call. Recognize You speaking to us, Lord, as we go through our day, Father God. And to act, God. To not only hear, God, but to follow, to get up and to do, God, to go after You, God, with all of our heart. God, create in us, God, the hunger, God, the hunger, God, that will drive us through sleep, God, that will drive us to get out of the bed in the morning, God, to get up and to seek You, God, that will drive us, God, to give up our lunchtime and seek Your face, God, that will drive us, God, to lay aside television or lay aside hobbies or lay aside things that don't matter, God, and seek an eternal relationship with You. Father God, I ask You to create that fire in me. Create that fire in this body, in this church, God. And I pray, Father God, that this place will become known as a place that points people to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship You tonight. We thank You, God, for Your goodness. I thank You for Your word, for Your mercy, God, and all You're doing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody said, amen.